to Inner Bloom, a podcast about how to live a happier, healthier, more harmonious life as you learn how to work with the universe, reconnect with your intuition, and bloom from within. I'm Alexa, a writer, producer, and EFT practitioner with a passion for all things metaphysical. And with me is my friend and co-host, Ambi.
I'm Ambi, a physical therapy assistant, mom of three, and intuitive medium who has been communicating with the spirit world since the age of five. Some might call it woo-woo, but from our perspective, anything is possible, and we intend to normalize the abnormal by sharing our own life experiences as well as intuitive insights, channeled material, wisdom from special guests, and any other resources we believe will help our souls expand and thrive. Hello, all you bloomers. We are back again. It's Fun Friday. Woo! I'm excited. I'm Ambi, and with me is Alexa.
Fun Friday. Woo! Super fun.
That's what they say at my daughter's school. It's Fun Friday.
Oh, I like that. Do they get to do fun things?
They get to go outside and play on the playground like they do every day.
Wow. That is fun.
That is fun. Let me tell you, it's good incentive to go to school because she was sick a couple weeks ago and she had to miss Fun Friday and she lost her mind. So
I guess it really is super fun then.
It really works. Like, they must be doing something really fun because she's like, I can't miss Fun Friday. And then dang. I tried, like, it's Fun Monday. And she's like, Mom, it's just
she's
Monday.
Like, no, dang. It's not. It's not Sorry. Fun Monday. I was just getting this image. Like, I feel like every Friday, I was at my friend Nikki, who listens to the show's place yesterday. And the girl that she lives with is just one of those people who just, like, you know, subtly places things around the house that let you know that it's that time of year, but it's not like overdone. It's like very subtle, chic little things. Like, I was noticing that on the like the counter in the kitchen, there was just these like awesome silver reindeer that just look like the centerpiece, but like they're not so obvious. It's like you suddenly realize, oh, these are reindeer, and like, oh, there's like little cranberries over there in that candle jar, and like, oh, like, you know, like there's subtle things that let you know it's Christmas time, right? And I was just thinking, man, I wish I was one of those people that just like thought of things like that and just like put things up and like celebrated the times changing. Like, my place never looks different. It's just always the same. And then I was just thinking, but probably never going to be like that because that's just never been who I've been. But I was just thinking, man, it would be really cool if like every Friday – I just like did something fun like in the apartment or like put up, and then I was like, I'm never going to do that. So this was all just basically a waste of my breath. I was just talking about something that's never going to happen.
So. Oh, you're
But
so
who
funny.
Knows? Maybe it's in my vortex. So
maybe it's in your vortex. Maybe you'll get like the energy to do it. That's why I like Christmas so much, because it's like, well, not that's the only reason, but like you get to decorate and everybody's all cheerful and happy, and it stays up for like a month, like sometimes a month and a half. So it's not like you have to do it all the time. But I actually said something very similar. Like, I always wanted a fireplace with a mantle, just because I guess growing up, like, that was like, you made it, right? When you have a fireplace and a mantle, like, you freaking made it. So I always wanted that. So now I have a mantle and I have like things up on the mantle. And then this year I was like, you know what? After Christmas, I'm going to keep decorating this mantle. Like, this is going to be my like table centerpiece. It's probably like not going to happen though, but I'm like, here we go.
But you have
your new me.
Yes, your new me. So like, what other things would you put up there?
Okay, so like, I did do it during Halloween. We had like spooky stuff and like cute little quotes, and then I was thinking, I have nothing for the winter. Literally,
Valentine's Day.
Oh gosh, I don't know.
Well, just like hearts that's a good and idea. Stuff. It's easy.
Yeah, that's cute. That's cute. I could do that. Maybe I could put like a, you know, little hearts up there, little Cupid. That'd be cute.
Yeah.
And then during the summertime, I was gonna do like beachy stuff.
Love that.
Yeah. And I feel like that's just like going with the seasons, not necessarily every month, because that's a lot.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. Agree.
Maybe during March I'll put a basketball. No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say like four leaf clovers, but then I was like, I don't know if they're really into St. Patty's Day, but a basketball, I get that joke, everyone. I might not have.
Alexa. It's okay if nobody else laughs because you're on the phone with me, so it's good.
Oh, man. Good times. So, but also I just want to say I'm not going to say that. Forget it. It was just more about like my decoration aspirations, but I was like, no, we're done. We're past this.
You know, Pinterest is really good for that.
I have like a very intense relationship with Pinterest. It really makes me feel good, but if I spend too much time with it, it can make me feel bad because there's like so much that I want to do and then I don't do any of it. And the other thing is that's just coming up right now, because that was reminding me that like sometimes I fall down Pinterest rabbit holes like forever. Mm. I mean, I go down, like I go real down. And yesterday, I was hanging out with Nikki. We were working on something. And then I came home and I just had a really long day, like just it was a really full day. And I had a couple hours before we did our fun little circle thing last night. And and before like my partner came home, and somehow I opened my phone and I hadn't looked at Instagram all day, and somehow I got onto this ASMR page. And you know what ASMR is? Like, you know what that is?
I do. Yeah. It's where you talk in a whisper and like you do different things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And you make sounds with different things. And a lot of people do like slime, like they make like slimes and like the sound of like pushing your fingers into the slime or eating different foods. Right. So I found this
My husband loses his mind with eating. Like he cannot even watch it. He was so mad when I showed him that video. Okay.
I found this girl that literally is like a pro at this and is like a very attractive young girl. Like, you know, she's like in her 20s and she's and literally I was watching this and I was getting so stimulated in so many ways. And I was like, oh, my God, I need to watch every single one of these videos. Like I never been so stimulated by ASMR. And I went down. I couldn't stop. Like there was like a voice in my head that was like, Alexa, stop. Like literally stop now. Like go. You can go do other things. Like it has maybe been 45 minutes to an hour that you've been sitting here in a hypnagogic state just like staring at these videos. And I just was like, I can't stop. I need more. And then I wanted to like make a post and be like, has anyone ever fallen into an ASMR hole? Because I just did, and it, like my mind is fucking blown. Like holy shit. Anyway, yeah, I'll put a link to that.
Remember when I messaged – it was probably like a couple months ago when I messaged you and I was like, we should have an episode about ASMR.
I messaged you about that.
Did you? I was like, what is this? Oh, maybe you introduced it to me because I was like, what the hell is she talking about?
I don't know.
But like I Googled it and I was like, what? And like I watched this for probably like close to an hour, I would say. Just different video clips, and I know exactly who you're talking about. She's blonde.
No, this girl is brunette. No, there's a billion ASMR girls. It's like a crazy thing. But no, I'll put a link to the girl I'm talking about, or Ambie, you can send me the link to the girl you're talking about. We'll put it in the show notes. But I was just thinking as you're talking, I'm like, oh my God, we literally should make a whole ASMR episode where we each bring like different items, like, and we go one by one making the sounds back and forth.
So, you know, I haven't seen a video on this. I've been looking for videos on this because it's so therapeutic.
Yeah.
You know how they have you ever seen the soap cutting videos?
Yes. Oh my God. I follow a soap cutter that I love.
Jesus, I can't watch it. It's too stressful for me. It's so stressful. I cannot handle it because I'm like, you're going to cut your hand. And I freak out and I have to turn it off. It gives me anxiety. So I was looking, at my old job, they gave everybody squishies, right? Yeah. Like these ice cream cone squishies and all these things. And just watching someone else play with it was so soothing to me. And I was like, oh my gosh, there needs to be videos on this. And I can't find any videos on it. So of course, my head, I'm like, well, I'm going to make a video on it. I've never made a video on it. But that would be really, that'd be a good video if somebody wants to steal my idea. Just throwing that out there.
I feel like this girl plays with squishies all the time, the one I'm watching. I'm going to put her link.
They don't sound like anything, though.
Right. It's just like, it's just smushed up. Like you're just watching it and it feels good.
Yeah.
She has some like that. Yeah. Listen to this one. Hold on a second. This is her eating like charred marshmallows. Like, you know, marshmallows that have been like over the flame. Hold on a second. Does that feel good or bad to you?
It doesn't really feel any way to me. It feels neutral. It sounds delicious, but it feels neutral.
Okay.
I'd like charred marshmallows. Honestly, I'm like, dang, that sounds good.
I know.
I could go for a charred marshmallow.
Okay. Right. Well, I think when we do our ASMR video, I'll bring better ones, you guys.
I literally feel like we're doing the episode right now. I feel like that's happening in this moment.
No. This is just a hype episode. Just get hyped for it and send us your requests. Because that's the funny thing about ASMR people. They're like, okay, I've been getting a lot of requests for lipstick caps being put on and off. So here you go. And it's like, cap, cap, cap. So it's like these are just random requests. So like, send us your requests if you have any.
You know what's funny is when you did that, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's going to spit in my ear. Like that's what it makes me feel
that
like.
That would be cool if that could happen somehow. If I could actually spit in your ear from here.
That would not be cool. I would be like,
you don't like wet willies?
That's the new technology with phone. That's where technology is going.
This is where I can literally reach through to your ear through the phone.
Wet willy people. Yeah.
Wet willy people. Okay. Well.
Okay. That went down a rabbit hole quickly.
Oh, I loved it though. Loved it.
Yeah, I did too. It was a good time.
Yeah. We have a review. Yay!
Yeah.
Right. Amy, do you want to read that baby?
I will read it. I will. Let me just pull it up here. Do you want me to whisper it?
Oh my God. Yeah, I do.
Okay. Okay. I can't whisper it. I can't do this.
Okay.
Okay. This is called Brightens My Day by Amber Ellen. It's a three, but it's supposed to be Ellen.
Okay.
This has quickly become one of my favorite podcasts. Ambie and Alexa both have just beamed positive energy. It feels like hanging out with two best friends. I like to listen to the podcast every morning before work to raise my vibe and start the day feeling magical. Thank you, Alexa and Ambie, for sharing your light with the world. Thank you.
Aw, Amber. That's awesome.
Thank you.
We're actually, she mentioned listening to the podcast every day before work, and we're trying now to get on a schedule so that we can release these things in the morning. So hopefully we'll be a little bit more consistent with our releases. And thanks, Amber. That's so nice. I love hearing that people think we're – I love that. That's like the best compliment that we always get about people – about it feeling like you're just hanging out with two best friends. I like that.
Mm-hmm. I like that too. I like that a lot. It's nice. Best. Or people are like, I feel like I'm hanging out with my girlfriends.
Yeah,
you are.
Yeah, you are.
Hang out with us.
Okay. So actually, here's what I'll do. I'll whisper the Patreon patrons. Okay.
Oh, I like that. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
See, there's a lot of pressure now, isn't there?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Thank you to our Patreon patrons. Tiffany Polito, Tammy, Sheena Bone.
Be serious.
I am trying. Stop it. Okay. Renee Hart, Mimi Ebneter, Melanie Larson, Marlena Brazil, Mariah Atkinson, Mandy Ford, Lisa Perez, Kim Bartel, Kellyanne Bates, Jamie McMahon, Jamie Edwards, Cheyenne Carroll, Charm City Foster Mama on Instagram, and Kara Miranda. We love you. Wow, I hope that wasn't so creepy.
That was creepy as shit when you said you loved them.
Yeah. I love you. Okay. Oh my God. Okay. Whoa, what just happened?
Hello?
What was that?
So Sorry, my Bluetooth kicked in. My mom pulled up in the car.
Oh my God.
What happened?
I heard your mom.
Did it sound like John talking to
no,
you?
No, I heard your mom. She goes, hello? She screams like, hello? And I'm like, wait. And I knew, I was like, wait, how is this happening? Because this is not like when you were like on a phone back in like the 1990s or whatever, and someone else would pick up the phone. That can't happen here. So what's happening? That's so funny. Wow. Okay. That's great. That's,
I can imagine how scared my mom was. Like, oh my God, hello? The aliens are calling me. Yeah.
I'm just glad we got that on the pod. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. So today we are going to read the next chapter of Eckhart Tolle's A New Earth, which we've been reading out of the past couple of Fridays. And the past couple of Fridays, we've been in the chapter about the pain body. And this chapter is called Breaking Free. So I guess this is all about how to break free of the pain body. So here we go. The beginning of freedom from the pain body lies, first of all, in the realization that you have a pain body. Then, more important, in your ability to stay present enough, alert enough, to notice the pain body in yourself as a heavy influx of negative emotion when it becomes active. When it is recognized, it can no longer pretend to be you and live and renew itself through you. It is your consciousness, it is your conscious presence that breaks the identification with the pain body. When you don't identify with it, the pain body can no longer control your thinking and so cannot renew itself anymore by feeding on your thoughts. The pain body in most cases does not dissolve immediately, but once you have severed the link between it and your thinking, the pain body begins to lose energy. Your thinking ceases to be clouded by emotion. Your present perceptions are no longer distorted by the past. The energy that was trapped in the pain body then changes its vibrational frequency and is transmuted into presence. In this way, the pain body becomes fuel for consciousness. This is why many of the wisest, most enlightened men and women on our planet once had a heavy pain body. Regardless of what you say or do or what face you show to the world, your mental emotional state cannot be concealed. Every human being emanates an energy field that corresponds to his or her inner state, and most people can sense it, although they may feel someone else's energy emanating only subliminally. That is to say, they don't know that they sense it, yet it determines to a large extent how they feel about and react to that person. Some people are most clearly aware of it when they first meet someone, even before any words are exchanged. A little later, however, words take over the relationship, and with words come the roles that most people play. Attention then moves to the realm of the mind, and the ability to sense the other person's energy field becomes greatly diminished. Nevertheless, it is still felt on an unconscious level. When you realize that pain bodies unconsciously seek more pain, that is to say that they want something bad to happen, you will understand that many traffic accidents are caused by drivers whose pain bodies are active at the time. When two drivers with active pain bodies arrive at an intersection at the same time, the likelihood of an accident is many times greater than under normal circumstances. Unconsciously, they both want the accident to happen. The role of pain bodies in traffic accidents is most obvious in the phenomenon called road rage, when drivers become physically violent, often over a trivial matter such as someone in front of them driving too slowly. Many acts of violence are committed by normal people who temporarily turn into maniacs. All over the world at court proceedings, you hear the defense lawyer say, "This is totally out of character," and the accused, "I don't know what came over me." To my knowledge so far, no defense lawyer has said to the judge, although the day may not be far off, "This is a case of diminished responsibility. My client's pain body was activated and he did not know what he was doing. In fact, he didn't do it. His pain body did." Does this mean that people are not responsible for what they do when possessed by the pain body? My answer is, how can they be? How can you be responsible when you are unconscious, when you don't know what you are doing? However, in the greater scheme of things, human beings are meant to evolve into conscious beings, and those who don't will suffer the consequences of their unconsciousness. They are out of alignment with the evolutionary impulse of the universe. And even that is only relatively true. From a higher perspective, it is not possible to be out of alignment with the evolution of the universe, and even human unconsciousness and the suffering it generates is part of that evolution. When you can't stand the endless cycle of suffering anymore, you begin to awaken. So the pain body, too, has its necessary place in the larger picture. A woman in her 30s came to see me. As she greeted me, I could sense the pain behind her polite and superficial smile. She started telling me her story, and within 1 second, her smile changed into a grimace of pain. Then she began to sob uncontrollably. She said she felt lonely and unfulfilled. There was much anger and sadness. As a child, she had been abused by a physically violent father. I saw quickly that her pain was not caused by her present life circumstances, but by an extraordinarily heavy pain body. Her pain body had become the filter through which she viewed her life situation. She was not yet able to see the link between the emotional pain and her thoughts, being completely identified with both. She could not yet see that she was feeding the pain body with her thoughts. In other words, she lived with the burden of a deeply unhappy self. At some level, however, she must have realized that her pain originated within herself, that she was a burden to herself. She was ready to awaken, and this is why she had come. I directed the focus of her attention to what she was feeling inside her body and asked her to sense the emotion directly instead of through the filter of her unhappy thoughts, her unhappy story. She said she has come expecting me to show her the way out of her unhappiness, not into it. Reluctantly, however, she did what I asked her to do. Tears were rolling down her face. Her whole body was shaking. At this moment, this is what you feel, I said. There is nothing you can do about the fact that at this moment, this is what you feel. Now, instead of wanting this moment to be different from the way it is, which adds more pain to the pain that is already there, is it possible for you to completely accept that this is what you feel right now? She was quiet for a moment. Suddenly, she looked impatient, as if she was about to get up, and said angrily, "No, I don't want to accept this." "Who is speaking?" I asked her. "You or the unhappiness in you? Can you see that your unhappiness about being unhappy is just another layer of unhappiness?" She became quiet again. "I'm not asking you to do anything. All I'm asking is that you find out whether it is possible for you to allow those feelings to be there. In other words, and this may sound strange, if you don't mind being unhappy, what happens to the unhappiness? Don't you want to find out?" She looked puzzled briefly, and after a minute or so of sitting silently, I suddenly noticed a significant shift in her energy field. She said, "This is weird. I'm still unhappy, but now there is space around it. It seems to matter less." This was the first time I heard somebody put it like that. There is space around my unhappiness. That space, of course, comes when there is inner acceptance of whatever you are experiencing in the present moment. I didn't say much else, allowing her to be with the experience. Later, she came to understand that the moment she stopped identifying with the feeling, the old painful emotion that lived in her, the moment she put her attention on it directly without trying to resist it, it could no longer control her thinking and so became mixed up with a mentally constructed story called the unhappy me. Another dimension had come into her life that transcended her personal past, the dimension of presence. Since you cannot be unhappy without an unhappy story, this was the end of her unhappiness. It was also the beginning of the end of her pain body. Emotion in itself is not unhappiness. Only emotion plus an unhappy story is unhappiness. When our session came to an end, it was fulfilling to know that I had just witnessed the arising of presence in another human being. The very reason for our existence in human form is to bring that dimension of consciousness into this world. I had also witnessed a diminishment of the pain body, not through fighting it, but through bringing the light of consciousness to it. A few minutes after my visitor left, a friend arrived to drop something off. As soon as she came into the room, she said, "What happened here? The energy feels heavy and murky. It almost makes me feel sick. You need to open the windows, burn some incense." I explained that I had just witnessed a major release in someone with a very dense pain body and that what she felt must be some of the energy that was released during our session. My friend, however, didn't want to stay and listen. She wanted to get away as soon as possible. I opened the windows and went out to have dinner at a small Indian restaurant nearby. What happened there was a clear further confirmation of what I already knew, that on some level, all seemingly individual human pain bodies are connected, although the form this particular confirmation took did come as a shock. I sat down at a table and ordered a meal. There were a few other guests. At a nearby table, there was a middle-aged man in a wheelchair who was just finishing his meal. He glanced at me once, briefly but intensely. A few minutes passed. Suddenly, he became restless, agitated. His body began twitching. The waiter came to take his plate. The man started arguing with him. The food was no good. It was dreadful. "Then why did you eat it?" asked the waiter. And that really set him off. He started shouting, became abusive. Vile words were coming out of his mouth. Intense, violent hatred filled the room. One could feel that energy entering the cells of one's body, looking for something to latch onto. Now he was shouting at the other guests, too, but for some strange reason ignoring me completely as I sat in intense presence. I suspected that the universal human pain body had come back to tell me, "You thought you defeated me. Look, I'm still here." I also considered the possibility that the released energy field left behind after our session followed me to the restaurant and attached itself to the one person in whom it found a compatible vibrational frequency, that is to say, a heavy pain body. The manager opened the door. "Just leave. Just leave." The man zoomed out in his electric wheelchair, leaving everyone stunned. 1 minute later, he returned. His pain body wasn't finished yet. It needed more. He pushed open the door with his wheelchair, shouting obscenities. A waitress tried to stop him from coming in. He put his chair in fast forward and pinned her against the wall. Other guests jumped up and tried to pull him away, shouting, screaming, pandemonium. A little later, a policeman arrived. The man became quiet, was asked to leave and not return. The waitress, fortunately, was not hurt except for bruises on her legs. When it was all over, the manager came to my table and asked me, half joking, but perhaps feeling intuitively that there was some connection, "Did you cause all this?" Children's pain bodies sometimes manifest as moodiness or withdrawal. The child becomes sullen, refuses to interact, and may sit in a corner, hugging a doll or sucking a thumb. They can also manifest as weeping fits or temper tantrums. The child screams, may throw him or herself on the floor, or become destructive. Thwarted wanting can easily trigger the pain body, and in a developing ego, the force of wanting can be intense. Parents may watch helplessly in incomprehension and belief as their little angel becomes transformed within a few seconds into a little monster. Where does all that unhappiness come from, they wonder? To a greater or lesser extent, it is the child's share of the collective pain body of humanity, which goes back to the very origin of the human ego. But the child may also already have taken on pain from his or her parents' pain bodies. And so the parents may see in the child a reflection of what is also in them. Highly sensitive children are particularly affected by their parents' pain bodies. Having to witness their parents' insane drama causes almost unbearable emotional pain. And so it is often these sensitive children who grow into adults with heavy pain bodies. Children are not fooled by parents who try to hide their pain body from them, who say to each other, "We mustn't fight in front of the children." This usually means while the parents make polite conversation, the home is pervaded with negative energy. Suppressed pain bodies are extremely toxic, even more so than openly active ones, and that psychic toxicity is absorbed by the children and contributes to the development of their own pain body. Some children learn subliminally about ego and pain body simply by living with very unconscious parents. A woman whose parents both had strong egos and heavy pain bodies told me that often when her parents were shouting and screaming at each other, she would look at them and although she loved them, would say to herself, "These people are nuts. How did I ever end up here?" There was already an awareness in her of the intensity of living in such a way. That awareness helped reduce the amount of pain she absorbed from her parents. Parents often wonder how to deal with their child's pain body. The primary question is, of course, are they dealing with their own? Do they recognize it within themselves? Are they able to stay present enough when it becomes activated so that they can be aware of the emotion on the feeling level before it gets a chance to turn into thinking and thus into an unhappy person? While the child is having a pain body attack, there isn't much you can do except to stay present so that you are not drawn into an emotional reaction. The child's pain body would only feed on it. Pain bodies can be extremely dramatic. Don't buy into the drama. Don't take it too seriously. If the pain body was triggered by thwarted wanting, don't give in now to its demands. Otherwise, the child will learn, the more unhappy I become, the more likely I am to get what I want. This is a recipe for dysfunction in later life. The pain body will be frustrated by your non-reaction and may briefly act up even more before it subsides. Fortunately, pain body episodes in children are usually more short-lived than in adults. A little while after it has subsided, or perhaps the next day, you can talk to the child about what happened. but don't tell the child about the pain body. Ask questions instead. For example, what was it that came over you yesterday when you wouldn't stop screaming? Do you remember? What did it feel like? Was it a good feeling? That thing that came over you, does it have a name? No? If it had a name, what would it be called? If you could see it, what would it look like? Can you paint a picture of what it would look like? What happened to it when it went away? Did it go to sleep? Do you think it may come back? These are just a few suggested questions. All these questions are designed to awaken the witnessing faculty in the child, which is presence. They will help the child to disidentify from the pain body. You may also want to talk to the child about your own pain body using the child's terminology. The next time the child gets taken over by the pain body, you can say, "It's come back, hasn't it?" Use whatever words the child used when you talked about it. Direct the child's attention to what it feels like. Let your attitude be one of interest or curiosity rather than one of criticism or condemnation. It is likely that this will stop the pain body in its tracks, and it may appear that the child will not even be hearing you, yet some awareness will remain in the background of the child's consciousness even while the pain body is active. After a few times, the awareness will have grown stronger and the pain body will have weakened. The child is growing in presence. One day you may find that the child is the one to point out to you that your own pain body has taken control of you. And I think we'll stop there for now. Although this chapter has, you know, we're halfway through the chapter about, so we'll finish the next one or the rest of it next time. But what'd you think of that, Ambie?
Man, that was some good juicy tidbits there. I like that. I'm going to try that with my daughter the next time her pain body gets all crazy, because sometimes it's really interesting sometimes when I have asked my daughter before, like, how did that feel? Like, what, you know, do you remember doing that? And she doesn't really, sometimes she does. I take that back. Sometimes she remembers like what made her angry, and sometimes she doesn't. And then sometimes she's like, "You just really make me upset." And I'm like, "Well, touche." You know. Sometimes you make me upset, girl. I get it.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna rewind this episode again and listen to that part and play and like follow those steps. Have her draw her pain body, but not call it a pain body, because I feel like that gives them, like, okay, well, I'm drawing a body with like needles in it. You know what I mean? I'm going to draw like specifically this pain body, because they're very literal little people. But I like those ideas. Yeah.
I do too. Because Ambie, you and I were even just talking about this like a little while ago, you know, like we were talking about this exact topic. And like, I was reading this thinking of you and thinking of like, oh yeah, this does make sense, because you're, instead of continuing this dynamic of I have something, I have, one of us has the power and one of us wants to get the power type of thing. It's like you have, it's like you're teaching your child to be self-sufficient. Like you're teaching the child to be present in what they're feeling and identify what they're feeling. And when any of us can identify what they're feeling, as was talked about in the beginning of this chapter, that is the power. That is the way to dissolve the unhappiness. That is the way to dissolve the pain body, to like just be present with it, you know. And we're taught, you know, I think now looking back through childhood and just the way that a lot of us have been taught, it's this way that was mentioned in this passage of like, you know, like someone, the child wants something, throws a tantrum, eventually throws a big enough tantrum that the parent just gives it to it so that it will calm down. And then that is really what the child learned. I mean, I'm thinking about my childhood, like definitely that's what I learned. Like I definitely learned like the more unhappy I am, like the more like people will come help me, you know, like if I throw a tantrum, then my parents will drop what they're doing and stop working and come help me. If I'm in a bad situation, they'll pay attention to me, you know? So it's really interesting to hear it. I've heard it explained other ways, but not in this way. And it's like really makes a lot of sense to me. And I also, there was something that was in the beginning of this chapter. It was, hold on a sec. It was like the second page. I really liked it. Oh, I found it. Emotion in itself is not unhappiness. Only emotion plus an unhappy story is unhappiness. And I really like, I like that part about the unhappy story, about how like you can't, since you cannot be unhappy without an unhappy story, this was the end of her unhappiness. And I mean, you know, we all know about this, about like your story that you're telling, but I don't know why the way that that was said just really resonated with me so deeply. Like, oh yeah, it's just a story. Like right now, like I have, I'm reading this book, so I have no story going, you know, and I feel great, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know. I like,
you know, what's really interesting too, is that, and I've brought this up before, but I'm going to bring it up again. It's this story that we tell each other, like our sad stories, right? To connect to each other. And it's so interesting, like from a sociology standpoint, like why do humans feel like we have to interact like this? Like we have to share our sad story to relate to each other, you know?
Because
go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just going to say, I feel like it's because we've been taught like that we're all like going through things and you don't want to feel like you're too good. Mm-hmm. Like you don't want to brag, or you don't want to feel like, oh, I'm fortunate and you're not. And I feel like we all know that we can relate to like struggles.
Yeah. And I also feel like it's almost like it feels like a contest sometimes. Like, oh, my pain body is bigger than your pain body.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or, I need more, like it's like a child screaming for help. Like I need more help than you.
Yeah. You know what I used to do with my oldest kid, which like pat on the back to me, good job. I used to say to him, do you just need attention right now? Do you need my undivided attention? Mm. And so a lot of the times, instead of him like throwing a tantrum, he would, I mean, he's not perfect, but instead of him throwing a tantrum, he would come up to me and say, I really need your undivided attention right now. Mm. And it's interesting because I really thought like, okay, yeah, I'm teaching him emotional like maturity. I'm teaching him emotional intelligence. He's going to be like so well prepared for the world. And like now he like shuts down and doesn't talk about it. So it's like very interesting how like you think like this is the way he's going to be. This is the way he's going. This is the way this little person's going to be. And it's like, no, I'm just going to go the other way. So
yeah, it is interesting. Everyone's on different trajectories, you know.
Yeah, and that just tells you, like, I think in general, whether you're a parent or not a parent, people put too much pressure on themselves for other people's reactions. You can't control other people's reactions because you can't control how they're perceiving the situation. And it goes back to the pain body. Like, how they're perceiving the situation is from their pain body and from their point of view, their eyes. So
Definitely. I like it. I like this whole pain body talk. It's like very educational. Cool. Well, we'll pick up and finish that chapter next week. I hope everyone has an amazing, fun, magical weekend. Shoot us an email if you want a private reading with Ambi or you want a EFT session with me. It's innerbloompodcast@gmail.com. Or if you have a story, we like stories or questions, anything like that. Ambi, anything you want to share?
Keep on blooming, everybody.
Keep on blooming. Happy Friday. Bye.
Woo, bye.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, we would love, love, love it if you would give us a rating and review on Apple iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. If you'd like to get in touch for a reading with Ambi, an EFT session with Alexa, or just to say what up, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And you can email us at innerbloompodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Inner Bloom Podcast. Until next time, remember, open your heart to the seeds of love and light and bloom from within.